Oh my god, oh my god, oh my goodness, you guys. You have no idea how happy I was to do this interview. It was the greatest thing ever. I got to speak to the fittest American, the CrossFit American champion, Carrie Pierce. I was through the goddamn roof when I found out I got to do this. And then I did the interview over Skype because she was amazing and she fitted me into her most insane schedule. And after I did the interview, the video of the interview is absolute shit. I will be posting many clips of this interview throughout Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So please go follow me there. But after I did the video, after we did the interview, I went back, I looked at the video, and it was absolute shit. And instead of crying, in fact, I did shed a couple of tears because I wanted it to be perfect because Carrie Pierce herself is perfect. It wasn't perfect. So I decided, you know what? Instead of bitching and moaning, let me just flip this. And this is me trying to push my podcast. So I really do appreciate you watching this. And in fact, I am going to make the next couple of Everyday Hero shows strictly for my podcast, at least the full versions for my podcast. So I just want a huge shout out to every single human being listening to this right now. I really want to get my podcast up there. And Carrie Pierce, who could be a better guest to have a single podcast on, the fittest American on the planet? Yes, you heard that. Thank you, Carrie. Amazing interview. For those who are listening, check her out. She's the shit. Thank you. Enjoy. Welcome back, you guys. Thank you very much for joining me. My name is Swadik Mayanja, but I go by Q the Nurse. Today's a special day. We are on another episode of the Everyday Hero Show, where I bring to you someone in my life or someone in your life that brings us joy, brings us happiness, but does not get the credit that they deserve. And today, ladies and gentlemen, today we get to talk to the fittest American in the world, Carrie Pierce, the one and the only. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Carrie Pierce has been in the CrossFit Games for 4 years, the past 4 years, 2015 all the way to 2018. Let me break this down. In the 15, she finished the 21st. She was fifth. 2016, also in 2016, she was the fittest American. In 2017, she finished 10th. She was the second fittest American. And then in 2018, this past CrossFit game, she finished 6th. And again, titled the fittest American.
Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. Carrie, so tell me, it's you on that high, that insane high of being in the CrossFit games, right? It ends.
Yeah.
It just ended. How do you go from being in the CrossFit games and then the slump? Do you still work out on your way down, or is it like, all right, I'm taking like 3 weeks off, I'm done, let me relax?
It's kind of in the middle of that. So after the CrossFit games, because it is just so intense, you're going mentally and physically, you just need a break after that.
Yes.
And so I took advantage and traveled a little bit. I went to see my sister in Chicago.
That's exciting.
For about 5 days, and CrossFit boxes reached out and they're like, come visit. I'm like, no, I'm not stepping in. But so I was just with my sister and we toured around a little bit. I mean, we did like a low key bike ride and we walked around, but nothing of structure. We ate a lot. She took me to a couple.
There you go.
Yeah. So I got to pig out, be a normal person for a bit about training. And enjoy her.
Good. So let me ask you this. Why don't you tell me the origin story? Because I just want to know the base of who Carrie Pierce is. So where were you born? I do know that you were a gymnast. You can tell us a little bit about that. And then how did you start and why did you start CrossFit?
Okay, so I was born in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Right after I was born, we moved away. But then we ended up coming back to Ann Arbor when I was 7. So that's most of where I remember my childhood. And I started gymnastics at the age of 3. So I did it from 3 to 21. Yes, 18 years. Mm. And finished my career at the University of Michigan.
Mm.
And I was 4-time Big Ten team champions there and had a full ride scholarship.
Jesus Lord. All right.
So,
can we just pause right there for just a hot second? For a hot second? That is incredible. So like just
Thank
the athleticism
you.
Has always been in you. So I have to ask, is this part of the family? Are your parents athletes? Is your sister or other siblings, if you have any, are they athletes or is it just you?
It's actually my whole family. So I joke around with people because my parents met at a gym. They met at a Bally's Total Fitness.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's in the genes. And both my parents were college athletes as well. My mom ran cross country and my dad played baseball. He also did wrestling. And my mom just played a variety of sports, basketball. She was a cheerleader, everything else growing up. So they're very active. My brother played hockey and my sister, she did a mix of sports, but she just ran a marathon last year. And she actually has a sprint triathlon coming up this weekend. So my family is very, very active, very active. Sports. So, yeah, so I'm really glad it's that way because I love what I do and it's awesome having their support. And they were all at the CrossFit Games. My brother who lives in Alaska. And then, yeah, my family's temporarily in Mexico City. Wow. And my sister's in Chicago, so she's close.
Oh, goody.
But have the whole family there, which was incredible.
So good. That's really good. And it's nice because it seems like it was just part of the family. It was part of what you guys did on the daily. So growing up, I do want to know, was it a situation where it was like, because 3 years old, Carrie, is super young, right? Yeah. And I'm judging. There's two types of parents, especially when it comes to hockey and gymnasts. You have the over insane bearing parents. My kid has to be the best. Why isn't my kid play? Coach, I hate you because you're not treating my kid the best. And thither, I'll let my kid do her thing. Like, let me see what she can do. I'll come to the games. I'll come to the championship. Where were your parents? Was one parent more intense than the other? How did that go when you were growing up?
Yeah, so it's funny that you say that because you definitely see the extremes in those two sports. My parents were just very supportive. They wanted the best for me. There were times when they kind of pushed me, especially when you're super – well, I started with my sister because I was 3 and she was 5, so she was a little bit older. And so my parents were putting her in, so figured they would just throw me in with her because why not? So, yeah, there was a point when I was 8 years old and they pushed me to – do the tryout in Texas, and it was actually at
Try out for what?
Like, just to go to a different gym and try out for possibly on the path to the Olympics.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're young. You peak at 16. So when I was 8 years old, they took me down to Dominique Muciano's gym, who was an Olympian, a phenomenal Olympian and gymnast, and just to see if that was the route that I wanted to take. I was there for a week. Tried it out and said, that's too much. Oh, I would get burnout. So then from then on, actually growing up, I said that I wanted to go to the University of Michigan for gymnastics and end up doing that. But my parents were super supportive the whole way. They kind of just like would take, they like, I started off at a softer gym, like a little bit, not as strict as the gym that I ended at. Yeah. But I told my parents that I wanted to compete for the University of Michigan doing gymnastics. They knew that I had to go to a tougher gym where the coach was a lot more strict, but he produced many, many, many Division I college gymnasts. So even though it was an hour drive because it was in Lansing, Michigan, they knew it'd be worth it. So when I hit 14, they started to drive me an hour each way. Then when I turned 16, they said, here's the keys, have fun. But they drove me for a couple of years. So
I have to say that is thorough dedication. And when I say dedication, I'm not just talking about you because, holy geez, an hour drive each way is insane as a 14-year-old, as a child. I'm talking when I'm 14 through 17, I'm thinking, I can't wait to go to the party this weekend. I can't wait to go out after school. Not I have to sit in a car for an hour just to start practice. That's insane. But your dedication there as well as your family's dedication. And I think that, it's great that everyone was supportive of you. And what I'd like to hear, what I'm hearing from you, is that you enjoyed the gymnastics. So it wasn't them forcing you to do it. You enjoyed it. You wanted to go to Michigan, and you decided, if I'm going to go, I'm going to have to get the best coach. I love that. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Good for the whole fam.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. So, you go to Michigan. You're state champion in gymnastics. I know gymnastics is a huge portion of CrossFit. How did you go from being a gymnast to becoming a CrossFit athlete? And, like, was it a quick switch over? Like, I'm done being a gymnast. I'm a CrossFit athlete. Next day I'm in the games. Or were you doing CrossFit for years before you got to?
So once I finished gymnastics in college, I talked to our strength and conditioning coach because I knew that I wanted to do something related to fitness, but I wasn't sure exactly what. So then I actually was just like, I am done with gymnastics. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to get away from the gym. And our strength conditioning coach was also an Olympic weightlifting coach. Mm. So he got me started in that. But I had a few injuries from gymnastics, including a bulge disc and like a little carpal tunnel on my wrist.
I'm sorry.
So weightlifting for about 6 months and then stopped and switched over to physique, or like I did a physique show. So kind of like bodybuilding. Just because I couldn't continue to do the weightlifting, because the doctor was like, you have to go 3 months with no squats. Yeah, so you can't do weightlifting if you can't squat, but you can still like go more for the physique route because you can do machines and things like that. So
I'm sorry, can we pause real quick? When you say physique, like, are you talking about like the competitions where you're in a bikini and you're like flexing? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, scary. That good for you. Yeah. What haven't you done? Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, no, it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot, especially about nutrition.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was a gymnast, I thought I ate healthy, but come to find out, it wasn't very healthy. It was just what I thought and what my family and what you're taught is healthy. And so from doing the physique, it really, like, turned my eating habits around and changed. Then after I did one physique show, then I actually moved to New York City, mm-hmm. and I was just personal training. And then one of the personal trainers that I worked with was a powerlifting coach and just saw me work out in the gym. He goes, Carrie, you're super strong. Have you ever thought about doing a powerlifting meet? I looked at him like, no, never thought about it. He's like, you should give it a try. Like, it would be fun. I'm like, I'm not really training for anything right now, so I might as well. So I signed up for a powerlifting. This was September 2014. So I signed up for a powerlifting competition in November. Wow. Though through all of this, one of my college teammates was in my ear like a little birdie, Carrie, you should try CrossFit. But I heard that it related to gymnastics. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm done with gymnastics. I don't want anything to do with it. Mm. I'm burnt out. And like senior year, I checked myself out. Like after I was done, I was like, I know I'm done. That's it. So there was one day I was at the gym and I saw it on ESPN. And I'm like, this is what Lindsay keeps talking about. So I just finished my workout, laid on a mat, watched the CrossFit games, and just looking, I'm like, I could do some of that. I was like, that actually does look like fun. So this was in October. And then during all of this too, a guy here in New York City reached out to me about gymnastics coaching. And then I was like, no, not gymnastics coaching. He's like, just sit down, talk with me. And it ended up being CrossFit gymnastics. Okay. I'm like, that's gymnastics. So I sat and talked with him, and I'm like, I've signed up for this powerlifting competition in November, but after that, I want to start CrossFit. So I started working for him just before my powerlifting meet. Then competed in my powerlifting meet and was like, okay, I'm all in. I'm going to try CrossFit now. So
wow.
A little bit of everything except in. So.
Yeah, we're going to talk about endurance. We're going to talk about all that cardio. Your endurance, your cardio, is that I'm sorry. So you did the gymnastics and then you did the powerlifting. I feel like that is like the biggest chunk of CrossFit, right? But but the conditioning is a humongous. I mean, because like, yes, if you know how to lift correctly, great. If you can pick up a lot of weight, great. If you can do the rings, great. But if you can't do that 100 times in a row, CrossFit might not be, you know, you might not be the greatest CrossFitter. But you just, so you're saying, so all of this happened in 2014 into 15, right?
Yes.
So then you just decided, like, after you started CrossFit, you just decided, I'm going to do the Open, I'm going to go to regionals, and then you were in the games, and you placed. Well, you didn't place, but you were in the top 25. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that on it, like, it honestly wasn't really planned out, kind of. I knew what CrossFit was. I honestly, like, when I started in November, I didn't know what it would take. I knew what the Open was, but I didn't really know what went from the Open to the games. And like, I didn't know that regionals was there, or how many, like, you had to be in the top 20 in order to go to regionals, and then the top 5 from there to go to the games. When I started, I was like, I just want to do this. I want to be as good as I can. And we actually had like a staff meeting at the CrossFit that I was at, and we were just going around the circle saying goals. And I was like, my first year I want to go to regionals, the next year I want to go to the games. And the owner just looked at me like, this girl's crazy. Like, he still laughs about it to this day, because he's like, what is going through this girl's head? Like, it takes people years to get to the games and even to regionals.
Yes.
And okay, she's going to get there this year. He's like, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I just ended up just training hard, and I have the coach that I started with is the coach that I still have. And yeah, we just did my best. And then the owner of the gym helped with strategy and stuff, because that was something I was brand new to, and workouts and things. So it's, yeah, it was definitely like a big, big learning experience. Mm. But I think the gymnastics background just helped me tremendously, especially in all the bodyweight stuff. And like at my first regionals, there was two handstand events, and I won both events, which really helped boost me in the points so that I could qualify for the games.
Well, good for you. But I want to speak to the actual training, because yes, like if I were to go to any CrossFit gym, I don't care how good of an athlete the CrossFitters in the gym look like, if we were to go around the circle and everyone in that circle were to say, we've never been an athlete, I'm not a CrossFit athlete, and one person were to say, I'm going to the CrossFit, you know, regionals to the games, we'd be like, all right, crazy lady, step aside. So I understand why he said what he said, but I have to ask, what is an average workout day? Not like a rest day, not an endurance day, a regular full day of this is my regular workout. How many workouts are you doing a day? Is it all weightlifting? Is it all endurance? How do you break that up?
Yeah, so that actually gets a lot. Luckily, I have a couple coaches that help me with all of that. And it really depends on where I'm at in the season. So like right now is a little bit more chill time. So especially just because this is my first week back to even somewhat normal training. So right now it's just one a day. We're doing 2 to 3 hours, depending on how long it takes for me to get the workout done. And we'll start with a warm up, like a 15 to 20 minute warm up, my coach writes. And then I do a little bit of gymnastics work, about 15 minutes of just separate gymnastics work. Then I move into a weightlifting movement, whether it's clean and jerk or snatch. Mm. Usually we just have one of those each day. And then I'll move into pure strength, whether that's squat, deadlift, strict press, bench press, something like that. Then we do some accessory work. Then I finish with a Metcon generally. And then sometimes, like, my coach will add extra conditioning and stuff. Right now, we're not doing the extra conditioning. That's kind of like, that'll be on hold for a few weeks. And then we'll slowly add that back in.
That is so intense, Carrie. Oh, my goodness. So, like, I don't know. Like, I'd love going to the gym. I do CrossFit on the reg. Like, it's great, right? But like, obviously this is your life. This is what you want. This is the goal. You want to finish. You want to win. You want to be the champ. You want to be the champ, right? But
yeah.
So I would say it sounds like a lot, right? But I don't know if it's like, I'm just doing heavy lifting. Let me just try to get like 15 squats out the way. And like all of that working out ends up being just 2 hours of your day. Or are you in the gym working out for like 5-6 hours a day? Is it all like, does it just sound a lot, or is it actually a ton of working out a day?
It ends up being a ton of working out a day. Not right now, okay. But especially like it gets a ton of working out a day starting after the open. Okay. Before the open is still like a decent, I mean, it's still not crazy, but especially after the open, going into regionals, then regionals into the games gets really crazy. Like from the open to regionals is usually around 4 hours a day. And then yeah, the 4 hours a day, like 5 days a week. And then 2 days are either active recovery, so like an hour of whether it's like running intervals, rowing, something like that, along with definitely a lot of mobility on those active recovery days, or I'll have a rest day, just depending on how my body feels. But usually I do better if I do some active recovery, even if it's just like something slow twice a week, and then a lot of mobility and things like that on those days.
So building yourself up to being a CrossFit athlete, right? So doing, having the gymnastics in the pocket and having the lifting in the pocket, was the endurance part very difficult for you, or did it just come naturally? Were you able to run the half a marathons? Were you able to swim for however long? Because god damn it, that marathon row, oh girl.
Tell me about it. I never, ever in my life thought that I would do a marathon row.
That's insane.
A marathon run either, but let alone a marathon row. I thought that would come even after a half marathon run or row or something of that nature. Yeah. But luckily the endurance did come pretty easily. I joke around with people though, because like going from powerlifting to CrossFit, like my coworkers when I did powerlifting were like joke around with me when I would go up a flight of stairs. And they're like, are you sure that's not too much cardio for your day? And I was like, I'd give them these looks, but didn't do cardio. It's like, if you would have asked me to run a mile when I started CrossFit good luck.
Oh, man.
But it's one of those things, I think, like, it's a lot easier to get than the gymnastics movements or just strength.
Yeah.
So if you're – and if you work on it, like, my coach would add separate sessions in just for cardio. And then, I mean, there would be, like, Metcons and I don't know. I'm good at, I guess, what people call going to the dark place and stuff and just really pushing myself. So I think it came easier than I had anticipated. So that's definitely
I think that's a really good point because you're right. Like if someone you it's so it's really it's not easy, but it's easier to just get on a bike and go into that dark place and just go or swim or run. But you can't just do muscle ups if you don't have the technique. First of all, if you don't know the right way to do it, you're going to be hurting yourself on top of you're going to just die much quicker. And the same thing goes for like a snatch or a clean or whatever. So if there is something that you want to be behind on, probably the endurance stuff is, at least that's the way I see it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the CrossFit Games. Okay. You've been doing it since 2015. Do you feel as though the CrossFit Games have been for the most part the same, or has it changed so much? I remember, I don't know if it's 2000 and I don't think it was 16 or 2000. It's one of the years that you guys did the Murph outside in the hot summer heat with the vests and everyone was dead. And that entire year, people were like, this is too much work even for these CrossFit athletes. Do you think they have eased up from there? Has the game stayed the same? It's been the same day makeup, though, for the past 4 years.
Yeah. And so that was actually 2015 because that was my very first year.
Sorry.
So it's okay. It's one of those, like, I went into it and I had no idea what to expect just because you don't know everything that happens behind the scenes. And there's like so many extra hours and stuff that you have to put in like for briefings and then people going over things. And it's just, there's such long days that like being a viewer on the outside, you don't really see. And so, I mean, in going in, I didn't know how tired and how strenuous, and I didn't know the correct way to like refuel myself and make sure I stay hydrated. So it's just like such an eye-opening experience that like going through Murph outside in the sun was, yeah, just something you'll definitely never forget. And I knew that like looking back on it, it's like, yeah, I should have hydrated better. And there's things I could have done as an athlete, but I was new and I didn't really know, like, I didn't think about those kind of things, I guess. And just being there was an honor. But as far as like the games getting more difficult each year, it's hard to say just because I know that like, I know my body better each year. So I know like how to prepare for it better, how to feed myself better. And I work with like RP Strength, who also helps me with the nutrition, the hydration, things like that. And so I joke around people because I'm like, I add different people to my team each year just to make my job easier. Like I even have a rowing coach. So for the rowing marathon, he was like, okay, I want you to do this pace. And he like gave me certain instructions. And so, I mean, yeah, obviously like the rowing marathon is the hardest event we've done. As far as like lengthwise, but I was like, I think the run that we had to do at the ranch was physically harder just because it was, I don't know, it was like a little bit faster, but I was like, just thinking back, like that hurt. I don't think any workout would hurt like quite that bad.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's actually a surprise because so I have to say, because I'm watching all of this from my couch sitting at home, the ranch run looked fun.
Yeah. And like, everything, a lot of things look fun until you're in a competitive environment with 40 of the fittest athletes on earth.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I want to talk a little bit about recovery, right? Because I think the problem a lot of just spectators have is that we see the amount of work you guys do. We see the speed at which you guys do the work you're doing. And then we decide, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. I don't have any coaching. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to work out for 4 hours a day. I'm going to run like 300 miles a week. It's like, talk to me about your recovery. And have you been injured? Because I don't think I have heard anything about your injuries, at least in the past couple of years. Have you been injured and how do you treat your recovery?
Yeah. So for me, the number one thing that I say to people is make sure you're getting enough sleep because a lot of people don't. The second thing is make sure your nutrition is on point and that you're eating enough of what your body needs. And like, especially just right after workouts, even during workouts, just because the faster you feed your muscles, the faster they recover, the more working out you can do. It's also like a buildup thing. When I started CrossFit, it was maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. And that was like tops. And then slowly from there, like, my coach has continued to add more volume. It wasn't just like, okay, I'm gonna do this CrossFit thing 4 hours a day, all in, go. So kind of like built up.
Yes.
Yeah. In the midst of that, like, for injuries with all the training, my coach adds a lot of like prehab exercises. So like shoulder rehab exercises, knee rehab. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm injured. It's just preventative so that I don't get injured, because we do a lot of volume and everyone has little imbalances. So it's just working to try and bring those up so that everything stays in order.
Go ahead.
As far as like your question about injury, I had this little Achilles thing going on. I didn't do it last year at the games. I did it in 2016, during the box jump over workout. One of the other athletes, like Alethea Boone, completely ruptured her Achilles, and she went before us. And yeah, it was really freaky. And then I was going, and I just like felt something weird in my Achilles, continued to go. My brother noticed though. He's like, "You were like jumping off of one foot." And I'm like, "Yeah, because something weird happened to my Achilles." So that's like the one main injury that I had. And I let it rest, and then I tried to work out on it, let it rest, tried to work out. And like, it was kind of like this roller coaster.
I'm sorry, so this was during the games?
Yeah, it happened during the games.
So was it in the middle of the games, or was it towards the end? Like, were you working out with that injury?
Yeah, my coach, we ended up taping my ankle because there was a sprint event the next day. Dang, and another workout. Adrenaline's going though. You don't feel it. It's fine. But
oh, goodness, girl.
In the middle, you have to go, unless you like completely rupture it. It was fine. But like I said, and then it was like this roller coaster. And even last year at the games, like, I wasn't able to run much before just because my Achilles was bothering me because I was stupid with it. So last year after the games, we took, I think it was a good 8 weeks just to let it recover, completely shut it down. And I also see a doctor, which is huge for recovery. I see him once a week. Mm. So if I'm like, my shoulder's kind of bothering me, he'll look at it, be like, okay, you need to don't do snatches this week. I'll reevaluate next week. Or he's like, add this exercise into your warm up. You can continue to do everything. And so when I had my Achilles, he worked with me on it whenever I would see him, and it definitely got better because he was doing work on it. So I see him once a week just to stay ahead of any injuries or, like I said, if anything's like this body part's peeling off. And he also does acupuncture on me, which helps with recovery, like helps me to sleep really well. So,
wow, my goodness, I love this. So let's talk about the CrossFit Games, right? So you finished 21st, 5th, 10th, and then 6th. Is every year, or is that your proudest CrossFit Games because you're just, your body's better, you feel stronger, you feel better, and like, it's just the competition that's better, right? Or is the 5th place 2016, is that your proudest moment? Or is this your proudest moment? Like, what are you most happy? Like, when I think of like my happiest CrossFit moment, what is that? What year is that? What event is that? If you even have that.
So if there is just one moment that I have to pick, then it is from 2016. And it is when I saw that I was fifth place and the top American. That's the thing that like, and I even have goosebumps now, like talking about it. That's like the happiest moment. And I remember after finding out and them announcing and stuff, I walked back, and when I saw my coach, I just like started crying.
Oh my goodness.
So I was like, I can't hold it in. Like, this is just incredible. Cause it was, I don't know, like going, yeah, from 21st the year before, it's like, okay, let's try and get in the top 20, maybe top 15, I think this year. And going into the final event, I think I was in 7th place, but it was a pegboard event. So I was able to jump up 2 spots, which was just incredible.
That's awesome. I mean, that's absolutely amazing.
Thank you. Oh yeah. Definitely like the highlight, but overall, like as far as CrossFit Games go, it definitely was this one that I think is my best so far.
Yeah, I mean, you look great throughout. Yeah. Throughout. So can we, because you just mentioned the pegboard, right? And you are a gymnast, so I feel like the crazy weird things that they throw at you, I feel like you're a little better equipped than it, but at the same time, you're talking about, like you said, the 40 fittest athletes in the world. But yes, I feel like you come prepared, and you have such a calm face throughout the entire thing, right? Is your mindset, you're physically the fittest American in the world, your mindset, how do you deal with the pressure from year to year? How do you deal with, I've never seen this pegboard once in my life, and this is, I have to do it at the games. How do you deal with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, at least like as far as mentality goes, I started competing gymnastics at the age of 5, so I'm used to competing, and that's just like ingrained in me. And yeah, like no matter what competition is, before the first event, I always get really nervous. But then after the first one's over, then you kind of like settle in, you feel your groove, and when you go out to like, you just know that you train so hard. So I feel like that kind of makes you a little bit more nervous, but then also a little bit more confident because you're like, I've worked my butt off. I hope it pays off, and I don't make a stupid mistake out there or whatever. But as far as yeah, the odd objects and stuff go, it's kind of like you have this game plan in your head and you hope that it works out. Similar to like, so the pirouettes for the handstand walk, you have like an idea in your head and you're like, okay, you just kind of like feel it out. But then by the time you go and you do it, then you know that you have to adapt. If it goes as planned, great, perfect. If it doesn't, then you could feel it. You're like, I know what went wrong. Now I know how I have to change my body's the way my body is shaped, just so that I can make it past whatever odd object or odd thing is ahead of me.
You brought up the parallel bars, and I did want to bring that up because you were going to be first in that event. You were going to finish first. I mean, Carrie, I was like, oh my God, that's Carrie. I was so excited. I'm so sorry. I am really sorry. And it was like right at the end, you fell over, you came back. But that's exactly what I'm talking about because you walked back, and it wasn't like hand in the face. You just walked back. You said, all right, let me do this. You went right into it, and you finished seventh. You still got seventh in the handstand walk. Good for you. Oh my God.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I was like, it wasn't that my shoulders hurt or whatever. It was just I tried to take too big of a step, and I was like, okay, just go and take smaller steps. So it's kind of one of those you got to try and adjust on the fly, and okay, here goes nothing. Try out this new
My
strategy.
goodness.
So keep going till you get it right, I guess.
And then at the games, because like I've never been at the games, and I have to go next year. But I love all the different types of events you guys do, right? So when you guys did like the course, you guys go through the course, or then when you're in the arena doing the clean and jerk sprint, do you have a favorite like arena or favorite place, or is it just it's all based on the actual event?
I love the Coliseum just
Okay.
because there's so much energy in there and it's so loud. And people would ask me, like, how is it compared to California and stuff? I was like, I think it's just because it's enclosed. You can just really feel the energy of the crowd and you can just like feed off of that. So that's definitely my
That's
favorite
definitely a favorite
place
place.
to do all the workouts. Yeah.
And then, yes, so you're a CrossFitter, so you must love a lot of the workouts. But I do have to ask, do you have a favorite workout or a favorite movement? And do you have, on the flip side, a least favorite workout or a least favorite movement?
Yes. So being a gymnast, I love the gymnastic stuff. And my favorite gymnastic movement is just handstand walks.
There you go.
I also love handstand push-ups, anything in a handstand. Muscle-ups and pull-ups and stuff are good too. But if I have to choose a favorite, then it's anything handstand, especially handstand walks. Then if I have to choose a least favorite, then it would be front squats
Ooh.
or anything related to, yeah, just I think like being a gymnast, I don't know if it's because my lats and triceps, actually, it's not even related to a gymnast. I've always been really inflexible when it comes to like putting my arms over my ears, or like I said, my lats are super tight. So I guess so.
I'm just looking at these numbers here, Carrie. If the front squats is not your go-to, you finished 13th in the CrossFit total. I mean, in like the
Thank
total.
you.
That was, I mean, holy jeez.
What's up?
It's incredible, and especially because they were doing the
Thank
press,
you.
right? It wasn't like that's especially with the shoulders. Good
Yeah,
wowzers.
it's just that mobility, like into the front rack, like back stuff is fine. It's just holding that bar in the bottom of a front squat.
Okay, I hear you. I hear you. Okay, so let's talk. You said taking care of yourself, your recovery, all of that stuff. Nutrition is a huge deal for you. Let's talk about nutrition. Now you're on a specific diet. Are you vegan, paleo, keto? What do, if you do anything?
It's basically just healthy eating. And like I said, I follow RP Strength. I've been working with them for 2.5 years now. So the guy in charge actually reached out to me because he went to Michigan as well. And he was like, do you follow any nutrition program? I was like, no, just the one I did with Physique. And he's like, okay, well, if you want, like, I would love to work with you. So I was like, it would be interesting. I mean, Physique, you're working out or you're eating for your looks, not for actual performance.
Yes.
So I'm like, yeah, that would be great. Like, I'll see what you have to say about my diet and everything. So he added a lot of carbs, added some fat, and took away some protein. And after that, like, and then he added sugars and protein to like my workout drink. So right before I start working out, I have a mix of sugars and protein. Then I continue to drink it during, and then I finish it up right when I'm done. And that, like, I feel like that really helped me, especially when I have like all my lifting stuff first, and my Metcon last. Before I did that, I would just crash before the Metcon and have no energy. And then once I started doing that, I'm like, you're replenishing your glycogen levels, replenishing your sugar right before your Metcon and throughout your workout. So it just made me feel that much better. And like, I had that much more energy for the Metcon at the end of the workout, or whatever people may have at the end of their workout.
I mean, Carrie, right now you're starting to sound a whole lot like a machine, but you are a human being. I mean, you are a human being and you live in America. And there is Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, Wendy's. I mean, there is more bad food around you than anyone could dream of, right? What is your cheat day, cheat meal? What is your go-to when you just need to let loose?
Mexican food, it's usually tacos or fajitas and ice cream.
Taco Tuesday every day. I love
there you go. I was just in Mexico and I had so much good Mexican food. I was like, this is amazing.
There you go. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So it sounds like you've had a very steady journey throughout the whole process, right? We talked about the highest, the top of the world, 2015. You saw you the fittest American. What was the toughest? Like, what has been the hardest thing for you to get over? You don't even like thinking about it, and I'm sorry to bring it back up. But I want to know, like, what was the hardest thing that you think you've gone through, and how did you get through it?
I mean, I guess it's probably just the Achilles injury, because it was just so, devastating. I guess not devastating, but it was just so annoying. And because I heard, like I said, I heard it at the 2016 CrossFit Games, continued to compete with it. Then we rested it for about a month, and then started to get back into it. Then I had to shut it down again, and then I get back into it, shut it down. And even before the 2017 games, or even before regionals, I heard it between the open and regionals. And so I couldn't do, I couldn't do a whole lot of running or jumping, anything like that. So we shut it down, went through regionals, made it through, rested a little bit longer, then tried to start back up, heard it again. So it was just like, I couldn't do any running, any jumping, and even like some lifting hurt because you have to like jump and move your feet. So just trying to like train for the games when you have an injury like that is tough. And then also that last year I had a little shoulder injury right after the games, and my doctor made me shut it down for a month it was after regionals. He made me shut it down for a month because I didn't rest enough after regionals because there was a lot of ring dips and muscle ups and dumbbell stuff. So I had to shut that down. So it's kind of like this period where it's like, okay, you have to shut down your shoulder and you can't do anything on your Achilles. And so we did a lot of kettlebell swings and biking and then like some step ups. Okay. And it was like, I couldn't even do like lift. Like my doctor said, he didn't even want me doing any lifting, like snatch, nothing like overhead. And so like that month.
A rough month. That's a rough few months. My God.
And especially like you're trying to train for the games. Exactly. And you're like, all you can think about is like these other girls are doing this and these other girls are doing it, and you're like, and here I am sitting on a bike and that's all I can do. So
that is rough, and it's annoying as well, really annoying. Talking about other girls, do you like working out with other people, or do you just like being by yourself and being in the zone?
So I like both. Just for, I don't know, different strategies and stuff. Like my weightlifting coach this year did something a little bit different, and he had me lifting at 3 p.m. when there was no one in the gym, or if there was and it was like one or two other people, because he's like, I want you to be completely focused. I don't want any distractions, because he knows I won't talk to people, but a lot of times people come to the gym, especially like, and I live in New York City, so there's a lot of the time like outside visitors, they want to come and talk, and he's like, we're setting this time so I can watch you one-on-one and so that you cannot be distracted. So it's nice like having that time with just my coach, just so I can focus on the lifting. But when I'm doing Metcons and stuff, I prefer to do them by myself with other people in the gym. I like having other people, because I know I'm like, oh shoot, that person's watching me, even though they're not. If they're on the other side of the room, they might be looking at their phone or whatever, but I can just like feel them in the room, and it's like I can't slack because they're there. But usually like, and I'll like working out with other people sometimes, but I don't know, sometimes it's like just being in my zone and feeling what I feel and not worrying about anybody else. So it's good to like have other people to train with as it gets closer to competition, because you have to worry about, oh yeah, that person just went really fast on the first round, but it's a 10 round workout. They're going to die. I need to know that I can like
do,
I sustain my pace.
Exactly. And so,
but like not, or like seeing other people, but not playing off of them. So I like a little bit of both. Yeah. Just depending on what the workout is, depending on where I'm at, like in the season, like right now I love working out with other people. Cause I'm like, it's just like chill time. It's just fun. Like when I was in Mexico, I worked out with like four or five other people the day when I was there. Just, we would like jump into each other's workouts and it was just a lot of fun. So I'm like, this is chill mode. I'm not worried about being the best right now. I just want to have fun and enjoy it. And
yeah. So that is nice. And I'm just the exact opposite, but at the same time, I'm not working out to go to the games. I'm working out to look good. So the mindset would be very, very different, especially when you're in the game. When you actually competed regionals, CrossFit games, do you look to the left and to the right of you and you'd say to yourself, all right, she's going that fast, I need to move faster. Do you change your pace throughout a workout, or do you have a plan before it starts and like you stick to the plan no matter what?
So I have a plan before I start and I stick to it 93% of the time.
I like the honesty.
Yeah. Like, and that's one thing that I tell people, like my very first regional, it was the one thing that will always stick in my mind. There was a workout and it was rowing, chest to bar pull-ups and strict deficit handstand pushups. And I forgot the rep scheme. It was like 21-15-9 or something like that. Like 21 calorie row, 15 chest to bar and 9 deficit strict handstand pushups. The first round, I forget, I think it was like 5 rounds. The first round, all the other girls going broken on their chest bar pull-ups. And me and my coach were like, okay, we're going to go 8-7 the whole time through. And then I did 8, I came down, got back up. And then I hear the announcer, oh, everyone went on broken. And they're on and whatnot. And I was like, well, I just broke these up. I was like, this was the plan. It's fine. They're like, for the next round, I'm like, should I go on broken or should I stick to the plan? And it was like this little dilemma I was having in my head when I was on the rower. Because I'm like, I don't know. It's like, okay, just stick to the plan. And like other girls went unbroken for the second set too. And then you're just like, you're just getting farther behind. But then by the third set, they started breaking them up. And by the fourth set, even more. Fifth set, even more. And I ended up winning the workout.
Yay,
and
so, yay.
Like sticking to the plan. But sometimes it's hard when you see other girls going faster. And it's like, just know that the game plan that you have is the right one.
Exactly.
But then there's also some workouts like triple three at regionals where you're running and it's like, okay, just try and run a little bit faster. And the same thing with the marathon row, I actually ended up going a little bit faster than my coach wanted because you could see everybody's paces. And so you're like, okay, I'll start off a little bit faster. And then I was able to maintain a faster pace the whole way through because sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going to start off faster and then you end up regretting it.
Exactly.
So one of those, you're like,
able to maintain.
What's up?
You maintained it. You stuck to it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yes,
Good for you. The CrossFit Games. Before the CrossFit Games came about, or happened this year, steroids.
Yeah.
Steroids was huge, right? A couple of huge athletes were tested positive and disqualified from the games, and I think it's like a 3-year policy. I think that's what I saw last. You did physique competitions prior, and the reason we're having this conversation is because I DM you on Instagram, and I see the comments, the occasional steroid comment here and there. Tell me, obviously you don't use it. You were negative all the way through. You finished the games. You finished 6th. You're not using steroids. Does it bother you when people accuse you of using steroids? Does that bother you? And what was your thought on the steroid use of the competitors you were competing with?
Yes. So, I mean, yes, it bothers me when people accuse me of using steroids and stuff. And I always just talk with the people in our gym. So, like, we see how hard you work and we know you're not using steroids. Just, you're in here for 5-6 hours a day. Like, you work your butt off. We see the way you eat. You have to eat super clean. You follow strict nutrition, everything. And it's one of those things, just, you know, positive and negatives come with each sport. So, I mean, there's going to be the haters out there. And most of them are, like, and on Instagram, 99% of the time, it's people that, like, don't have pictures.
Exactly.
And stuff, and you're just like,
whatever.
Okay, whatever. If this is going to make you feel better, if this is going to make you sleep at night, go for it, whatever. Easily delete it. You're gone. That's fine.
Bye.
And as far as like the drug testing policy and people getting caught, I mean, I think it's great that they're more strict this year. And I know some people are like, how come so many people got caught this year? Well, it's because they did a lot of random testing in regionals, like before it started. the very first day of regionals, they randomly drug test. They randomly selected people to go and drug test. Whereas before, it was always just the top five athletes that were going to go to the games that would get tested. So this year during the athlete orientation, they picked, I don't know if it was like around eight people from individuals and then eight people from teams as well, just to randomly go and do the drug test before the competition started. And then they obviously tested the top five again, individuals and teams, male and female, after the entire thing was done. So I think it's good that they're cracking down more and they're testing more. And they actually took, usually before they had just taken urine, this year they selected two of the top five to take their blood. So they took two of our blood, which I guess is even better, so they're cracking down even a little bit more.
And I have to say, so yes, because CrossFitters in general are athletes, and fitness is the sport. You know, fitness is the sport. So all of these athletes look insanely ripped, insanely, like, they're ripped. You guys are just ripped, right? So from the outside eye, especially if you don't do CrossFit, you look at them and you say, obviously, they're all on steroids, obviously, right? But I really appreciate how the games, just the CrossFit games, Dave Castro, the whole team, the organization, how they attacked the steroids. They were like, you know what? It doesn't matter. Yes, if we catch people, hooray, we catch people. We're going to make it publicly known. Everyone's going to know you used it, and we're going to kick them out and tell them you can't join. I think that's the best way to go about it. Any other way is just like you're trying to hide. You're not being honest. They just were like all up front, transparent about everything. It was great. It was phenomenal. It was the best way to go about it. And I am, yes, woot woot. All right, so I'm looking, just talking to you right now. I'm seeing the poster behind you. Is that Samantha Briggs?
No, that's me.
That's you. I was going to say, Jesus Lord. Okay, so she must be the competition. Now it makes sense. Oh, my God. Oh, it's a drawing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, so this guy actually did it for me. Last year, one of the members of our gym was like, my friend is an artist, and he wants to do a painting for you. And I was like, okay, fine. He's like, choose a picture, send it to him. I'm like, but I don't know what's going to look good. So I sent him like 10 pictures, and then he ended up doing that. I'm like, that's so cool. So I had to stick it on my wall.
That's amazing. I love that. I love that picture. All right. But okay. So let's talk about the other people. So Carrie, like I remember messaging you way before the CrossFit games and being like, I love you. You're awesome. You kick ass, all of this stuff, right? Before the 2018 games. I have to ask, wait, before I even ask this question, it's personal. If you don't want to answer, you don't have to answer. If you think it's inappropriate, I won't even add it in the interview. But are you able to just live off of the CrossFit Games? Do you have another job? Do you have to work another job?
Yes. You, like, most athletes won't be able to make their living off the CrossFit Games. Though, like, each year I get more sponsors, better sponsors that pay better. So now at this point, I don't know, I might be able to live off the CrossFit Games and my sponsors, but definitely not just competing. Oh, okay. So, yeah. So I also do some personal training in New York City. I have a select group of clients, and then I just coach one CrossFit class a week just to continue coaching.
Good for you.
I love coaching. I love our members and everything. And I don't know, like the owner of our gym is awesome too. So I don't know. I have a couple of privates as well as, the coaching a class.
Yes.
Then I've started doing some gymnastic seminars as well. So when I was in Mexico City, I did a gymnastic seminar.
Gymnastic CrossFit or gymnastic?
CrossFit.
Okay.
CrossFit gymnastics. Yep. And so, yeah, it was in the box that I just like trained at while I was down there. And we scheduled that about a month and a half ago. And then I also did a CrossFit gymnastics seminar tour around Europe last year. I did one in France, Austria, quite a few in Germany, hit Netherlands, Belgium, and then a couple in Ireland. So I made a little bit of extra money doing that and got to meet a lot of people. So yeah, a little extra stream of income and a lot of traveling.
There you go.
So cool, because CrossFit's like worldwide and you can go travel and it feels like you have a little family.
Exactly. That's super nice. It's super nice. But so I have to mention this, okay? Because you're one of my favorite CrossFit athletes, right? And I just want to be honest with you. When I'm talking to the majority of people around me here, and I live in Boston, Massachusetts, so I'm in the States. When I talk to the people around me, there are the top name female athletes, right? Like, they're the named female athletes everyone knows, like the Julie Fouchés, and she hasn't even competed. You know, Samantha, all the David's daughters, Camille LeBlanc. Does that bother you at all? Do you seem like super mellow, level-headed. It doesn't seem like that's something you're even chasing. Like, but does that bother you that you're not getting, I feel like you're not getting the amount of like spotlight that you should get. Is this something you even think about?
So usually I don't think about it until other people say things. And
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. Like, a lot of people in New York and a lot of my friends and stuff, they're like, how come, like, I mean, one example, last year I was at the Invitational and everyone except, I think, me and Carol Ann Racing Thibault were sponsored by either Reebok or Nike. And someone was like, how come neither of them have come after you yet? I'm like, I think, like, I don't know, this is just me saying my thoughts. I'm like, I think it's just because I'm not, like, one of the original athletes and I'm newer. And I think a lot of people, when they think to, like, the CrossFit athletes, they think about the people that have been around forever, like the names that you mentioned. Okay. They started way back when. So I think that's part of it. So yes, it kind of does bother me, especially because this is the second time that I've been like the fittest American female.
Exactly. With
the majority of, like, if one country has the most CrossFit athletes out of anywhere, the US by far. And so it's one of the, like, I was first, I was second, and then I was first. And yeah, I don't think, like, I get near the publicity that I should get. And that's a lot of people. I think, like, my friends were so much more upset than I was because they're watching the CrossFit Games and they're like, you got, like, no coverage. And they're like, yeah, they might, like, show you a little bit, and then they go away, they go to somebody else. And then you might get a little bit, and then you're on their way. And, like, we hardly got to see you, especially during, like, the final event. And so I think, like, other people make it more clear. Like, I don't – because, like, especially when I'm competing and stuff, you don't see the coverage. You're doing what you're doing. You're competing yourself. And so I think it's, like, afterward when everyone, like, goes to, like, say these things that you're, like – yeah, you're right.
So, so I have to ask, because, yes, you, number one, I agree entirely with them, because, like, this entire CrossFit Games, like, my eyes were carry. I'm like, where's Carrie? And I was thinking the same goddamn thing. I'm like, what are we talking about here? Why are we looking at the 28th place, whatever? Where's Carrie? She'll be Carrie.
Right.
But also, do you ever go home and watch the games by yourself and see, like, do you ever go back and watch it, or is it like, I'm done, I can't look back? If I am, I'm gonna critique myself way too much.
Yeah, so I usually watch some of it, and it's usually when other people are like, oh, you should watch this event, you should watch this, or if it comes on TV, then I'll end up watching it. I usually don't go back as much as I probably should to watch some of it. But then when people are like, yesterday I was actually at a box and they had the clean and jerk ladder playing. Yes. So I got to see that, and, like, I'll see little things here and there. But honestly, like, I go, I compete, and I'm like, I know what went right, what went wrong. But it does help when you go and you, like, watch yourself as well. So I will watch some, especially the events that, like, didn't go my way. But, like, I mean, in some of it, I'm like, okay, well, where am I at? I can't see anything. Okay, I'm done. I'm overwatching this.
Perfect.
So.
Carrie, I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. Before we end this, I do want to ask your future. You're a professional athlete, right? So your body can only be at peak level for so long.
Yeah.
I hate to bring this up, but what are your goals? Like, are you ever going to do teams? Are you ever going to, I say that, and I don't mean to say it in the sense of teams is easier, but it's different, right? It's definitely different. Are you ever going to do teams? Do you want to own your own CrossFit gym? Do you want to coach forever? Where do you see yourself going in the near future / long term as an athlete, as a CrossFitter?
Yeah, so that's obviously something that all professional athletes have to think about, because you are basing your life off your body.
Exactly.
And you don't know how long that lasts, and everyone's like, oh, how many more years are you going to go? I'm like, well, that depends on how long I stay physically healthy for and how long I mentally can handle it. So I think one thing is your body holding up, but sometimes it's almost your mind more than your body. Especially, joke around with my coach, I'm like, each year after the games I need a little bit more time off just to reset my mind and just find the love for it again. I've definitely, like, thought about doing team. I don't know, like, when that would come. I'm like, I feel like when I've, like, hit my plateau as an individual, then I think I would try and switch to team and do team, because, like you said, it's different. Yes. And I feel like I could focus more on like just the gymnastic stuff and the things that I'm really good at than worrying about like being that all around athlete.
Exactly.
So I've definitely like thought about that, and it's kind of like one of those, well, we'll see how my body holds up. Definitely another year or two individual, and then kind of go from there, see if I still feel like I'm continuing to improve as an athlete and staying healthy. And then in addition to that, I've actually started thinking about doing a little bit more gymnastic programming and the seminars and everything. So that's going to be my next step, is just working on developing like gymnastic programs and everything, because I think I can help a lot of CrossFitters there, because a lot of CrossFitters struggle with the gymnastics, whether it's the strength or the technique. And just with my background, and obviously like I'm one of the best gymnasts in the CrossFit Games. So I think that's just like a perfect dream for me to go after being an athlete and then possibly opening my own gym. I'm not really quite sure about that. I thought I wanted to for a while. I'm like, I don't know if I would want to run my own gym. So that's like something that's in the back of my head that'll be decided on a little bit later, but I'd rather focus on the gymnastic things right now, because I really enjoy doing the seminars and teaching other people just the gymnastics aspect of CrossFit.
Wow. So our last question, I promise, I know, I'm sorry. You're in the CrossFit Games, so it's hard for, I mean, you must be a fan of the sport to like to do the sport, right? I just feel like you have to be a fan of the sport. So being a fan of the sport, do you have a favorite team, a favorite athlete, a favorite male, female athlete, doesn't matter. Do you have favorites? Is there someone you're always like, eyes on the prize with all the time? Like, do you have that?
In CrossFit?
Yes.
Yes. So the very first person that I ever like was, I guess, a fangirl of was Annie Thor's daughter. Because she was the one that, she was the one that out, right, when I watched the games for the very first time. And I'll never forget, I'll have to tell her this one day, but I still haven't told her. The first time I went to Union Square, because she was part of Union Square in New York. The first time I was in there, she told me that she had nice arms, or that I had nice arms.
There you go.
That was in 2014, like right before I started. Before I made it to the games and stuff. So I'm like, one of these days, I'm just going to have to tell her, like, 4 years ago, you told me I had nothing before, and now we're competing against each other.
It was that compliment that got me to the games.
There you go. I'm like, well, did you know, soon we'd be each other's competition, because she placed fifth this year and I was sixth. So
that's amazing. Thorzar is kind of the shit. I mean, she's been doing it for forever, and she's still on top. It's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah. It's incredible.
It really is. And then as far as, like, male athletes, I think Ben Smith, just because he has been around for such a long time, and I kind of got to know him 2 years ago at the Invitational, and he's just such an amazing guy. He's so down-to-earth, super chill, and, I mean, the rest of his family is too. Like, Alec is awesome, and I have respect for Alec too, because he was a gymnast, so it's cool just watching him and all the crazy things he does on Instagram and making the games these last 2 years in a row is really cool.
Yeah, and I have to say, if they were a top male athlete that you were similar to, it'd be Ben Smith. And I say that because the both of you are so good at what you do, but at the same time, so mellow. You guys aren't rah-rah, ripping your shirt, yelling in people's faces, I'm the greatest, talking shit. But at the same time, you guys don't sulk and moan and groan when things don't go your way. You're so level-headed, you just move and you keep moving. I love it. I don't even know if you have to, because you're so big on social, but can you please just let the people know what is the social that you want them to contact, you know, go follow and all of that stuff?
Yeah, definitely my Instagram, Carrie Pierce CrossFit.
Okay.
That's the biggest one. And then if they want to do Facebook, it's Carrie Pierce CrossFit Games Athlete. So super simple.
There you go. Carrie, thank you so much. So very much. I really, really do appreciate this. And I think probably this Sunday is when I'll drop the video. Thank you. Best of luck to you. I can't wait till you finish on top of the podium next year in 2019. It's going to happen.
Yes, there we go. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one, Carrie.
Yeah. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.